Greetings, this is James Gillen. I'm your host, and we've got another great show. We've got Mark Dr. Dream Peebler, and as an entrepreneur, humanitarian, and international speaker, Mark has over 20 years' experience guiding, mentoring, and empowering students, organizations, and corporations in building, reaching, and sustaining their full potential. In addition to his speaking engagements and his work as a talk therapy empowerment coach, Dr. Dream is the author of the book, 21 Days to Change, Dream the Biggest Dream, and is also accomplished in healing work with Rife frequencies, guided visualizations, crystal therapy, essential oils, and flower essences. He's also a Reiki master and ordained minister. So without any further ado, we want to bring Mark on the show. Mark, are you with us?
I absolutely am. Feel free to call me Dr. Dream.
I was just going to ask you that, if you wanted me to call you Dr. Dream or Mark.
You know, it's interesting. 8 years ago, I started the program Dream the Biggest Dream, and I went on the speaker circuit immediately as Mark Peebler. And after the first two speaking engagements, people just naturally started calling me Dr. Dream. And what I found is it just helps people remember me better.
So. Yeah. Well, it's all a dream anyway, so.
That's right. So it makes it easier for me to remember that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. The you know, I listened to your talk on the, I guess it's Consciousness Behind Chemtrails. And that's one of the subjects that's near and dear to my heart, because we've been dealing with these chemtrails just, I mean, we get a special dose here because of the work we're doing, and we're sitting on top of a vortex and doing all we can to override it with consciousness and doing other physical things as well. But I know a lot of people are extremely challenged with whatever they're putting in those chemtrails, not just the, you know, the heavy metals such as strontium and aluminum oxide and barium, but the other biologicals as well, and Morgellons. And I know that I heard you talk a little bit about Morgellons, but I think that would be a great subject to go into, is how we can transcend, you know, the chemtrails and the other little programs that are going on the planet right now.
Absolutely. This I really love addressing this, because this was an important conference for us to do, the Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails. It was the largest chemtrails conference to date, and was in Los Angeles. And my partner and life partner, Laura Eisenhower, and I were invited to speak. And everyone else was previously worked for the government, or they were scientists and this and that. And so in looking at what role I could play in that program, the most important aspect for me is that we don't give up our power to everything that's going on outside of us. And so in my own life and in the holistic healing practice that I've got here in Ventura, California, I am very focused on what does it take to stay empowered, to not slip into being a victim, and to keep our frequency. Our frequency, our energetic level, at a level that's high enough that the lower energies of chemtrails, Fukushima radiation, all these other things just really can't penetrate. And so this has been a whole emphasis of my practice. And so you mentioned, and I love hearing it, you started to list from the bio, you know, many of the different modalities I do, and I'm considered a multiple modality practitioner. And so what we're finding is the combination of these modalities really shifts the energetic. There's we all have a biofield, which is our energetic field, and in 1994 this was accepted by the National Institutes of Health, that every human being has an energetic field around them called the biofield. And so then what we're finding is that particularly essential oils and sound and vibration and supplements and all the things we're putting into our body, not to mention what we're putting into our minds, has everything to do with the strength or the foundation and like coverage, I guess, of our individual biofields.
Mm-hmm. The you know, speaking of that, it's a little bit off the subject, but we can get back on that subject. But I mean, what is the sun doing to our biofields with these massive, you know, coronal mass ejections and flares coming in?
Well, I'm not. I mean, I've been noticing there's other people that are really like John Riley down here in Santa Monica and stuff, and I follow his posts on the solar flares and everything. Mm-hmm. It's not an area that I'm well versed enough to be able to talk about from like a scientific standpoint. I will tell you though something interesting for me just regarding the sun. I've stopped wearing sunglasses. Now, mm-hmm. for years, I wear prescription glasses, so I've got all these prescription sunglasses, and I've always worn sunglasses. I drive a lot to events and this and that. And for about the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 months, I have not been wearing sunglasses at all. And I think what's happening is I'm really wanting to bring in as much light and as much of the sun energy as possible. So I don't know how that fits into thing, but it's just an offshoot of what's been happening energetically for me regarding the sun.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I did the same thing. Actually, I stopped wearing sunglasses unless I'm driving on my motorcycle. Then I have some yellow colored sunglasses just to keep the field nice and clear and keep my eyes safe. But I felt that too. These bursts have got to be affecting the bioelectric fields around the body and any addition of energy. And I also feel the sun is conscious, or the sunlight has a consciousness that comes with it as well. But it's good to absorb as much of that as possible, and even doing some greet the sun in the morning and say goodbye to it when it goes down is a good idea as well.
Yeah, I mean, years ago they said to me, if you want to get over jet lag, because I did a lot of international travel, they would tell me when you land at your destination, if it's close to sunset or that's the next event of the sun, watch the sunset and then get up the following morning and watch the sun rise, and it resets your body clock.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a good idea. Going back to this other subject, the biofields and how things are affecting those biofields and the multi-way approach you have, it seems like we are getting bombarded on every level, in the water with all the carcinogens and whatever chemicals in the water, to the fluoride, to the chlorine, to the aspartame, and I mean, I can go on all the food additives and in the food, and then on top of that, now we're getting hit with the chemtrails, with all the things going on there. So I guess everybody's individual. You'd probably have to treat each person individually, but I'm curious as to some of the modalities that you use.
Well, the very first thing I start with, and I had a wonderful conversation yesterday with someone who reached out to me, a woman, 10 grandchildren, big family, and has gone through an awakening process in the last year and wanted to talk and needed to get back on a foundation that had her feeling good. She's so constricted and so in fear about chemtrails, shadow government, this and that. And so the very first thing that I do to assist people is to, really point out that we have to be careful what we own. It's fine to own the fact that there are chemtrails and that it's not a good thing. To me, it's a dangerous area to slip into owning it and saying, this is what it's doing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So knowing that it's happening, being aware of it, but not knowing that you're being damaged by it. Because as you start to own that and focus on it, you're energizing it, and we know this is what happens. It's your source of energy going to reflect back to you the energy that you're holding. Mm-hmm. So this is sort of a fine path for us to walk in, like truth movement and everything else is learning about all that is being done that has the possibility of affecting all of us without owning it so much that we get into a trap that we can't get out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is that thing that you can't actually address this on one level. This all needs to be addressed on multiple levels of our experience. But if when you're thinking about something, feeling, about something and you're feeling constricted, you've got to shift those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first place that I start, because if people can't get their mind into a place where they're not attracting what they fear, then none of the other stuff is going to work. The other modalities and everything else just aren't going to do it. I said I'm a multiple modality practitioner. There's about 16 or 18 tools and modalities that I use in my practice, but there's one tool that is the greatest tool ever, and that's our minds and how we integrate our emotional and mental and physical bodies. And this is the starting point for all of this. And so to get on a balanced foundation of how we perceive our world and what's going on outside of us, then start to look at people's lifestyles. What are they eating? What are their habits? What are their vices? You know, what are they addicted to? We all have some level of, you know, a addiction, I guess, to something. I mean, I'm kind of a sugar person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't drink and this, that, and the other, but, you know, my weakness is sugar. And people have, you know, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sugar, whatever other food addictions, sex, you know, whatever it is. But to take a look at, it's really the holistic view of a person's life and how they're living and what they're doing. And then really shining the light on what those energies are for people, because particularly as people are just sort of waking up to all of this, none of us were raised to, well, not many of us were raised to really feel as empowered as we truly can be in this experience. And so there's this aspect of getting our power back and then learning, when and where and how we're giving up our power. And it's pretty common across the board with all the clients that I've worked with, that there are certain levels of this going on all the time. And then we take a look at the specifics, looking at even their birth chart, which of their organs have the potential to be compromised based on when they were born and everything. And then we come up with a protocol for them. We actually have a chemtrail protection spray with essential oils that people really have loved. The thing about essential oils is that just they go to work immediately. We just watched a video last night on an oil that we have called Balance, and just it showed the dark cell microscopy of a person who hadn't used an essential oil, and their red blood cells were all kind of clumped up and not moving around very well. And then they put a drop of this doTERRA Balance essential oil blend on the bottom of each foot. 30 seconds later, took blood, looked at it in the microscope, and the cells were completely different, moving around, healthy, not clumped up at all. The essential oils go to work immediately in our systems. I mean, it's literally 30 seconds, and it's fascinating to watch. And so that's one of the tools that I recommend in a really big way is some really fine essential oils, and it's not about getting oils from us, but it's about getting oils that are therapeutic grade. Only 2% of the oils out there that are available to us are therapeutic grade. Mm-hmm. The others, fillers and additives. So you don't have to get your oils from me or from doTERRA, although that's what we recommend, but you know, go to Young Living or one of the other companies that has therapeutic grade. You know, we're already taking enough toxicity in. Let's not do it, you know, in a direct way just to save some money here or there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing tremendous results from this.
Yeah, there's some, you know, I love the essential oils. I use a lot of them. I use Thieves a lot too. And actually inhale it. I have an inhaler and I put all kinds of essential oils in there and inhale them, and it clears a lot of this stuff right up. And I'm really working at just being an observer with loving detachment, but at the same time informing people of, hey, there is something going on. You need to pay attention to this, but not in a fearful way, but you might need to make some adjustments in your life, you know, to compensate for what's going on.
Now, this is a great point that you bring up, and I'm sure you've run into the same sort of energetic that Laura and I have, and that's, you know, we're so focused on our mission, and all of our moments are being taken up with doing what we're really here to do. And the message that I've been getting recently in some of the radio interviews that we've been doing on our radio program and things like that is, you've got to have fun and don't take it quite so seriously. Because I just find myself getting caught up in like the sort of weighty aspect of it. And then it's like, oh, wait a sec. I'm Dr. Dream. This is all an illusion. And, you know, there's got to be a way to play the role and be who I came here to be without this really heavy energy. And so, for me recently, that's the reminder that is like in my mantra, reminding myself, don't take it too seriously. It's all an illusion, you know, but still helping people wake up, getting the information out there and everything like that.
Yeah, it's a tricky path to run because when you're in this field and you are uncovering all this information, you know, it can take you down a very dark path toward the point where you don't even want to be here anymore. And I know a lot of people that went down that road, but, you know, I found out the more I can master loving detachment and the more I realize we're all eternal and this is just one go around, it really helps to hang in there sometimes. And I find it odd though that I'm sure you get that too, is some of the very people you would think would be on your side are actually the ones that are throwing the most mud at you.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And another lesson, I used to have a show called Lessons from the Frontline. And so every week I talk about what I was learning in my own life that week. And it is interesting to me. I posted some things several months back on Facebook, and I was questioning the lack of honest approach by a certain sports celebrity. People really took exception to me and like gave me a hard time. It was Lance Armstrong, and I was saying, you know, he should just come out and say that he did it, and everyone was doing it, and he's sorry he let people down because he knows he's a role model, but that's the way the game was played and whatever. I mean, he just had that opportunity and he didn't do it. And I posted that on Facebook, and what I got back from people that I really respected was giving me a hard time. Was saying, who are you to judge? Look at all the great work he's done for cancer. And I'm thinking, cancer? Geez, there's been a cure for cancer for decades. You know, he's the pawn in the cancer game. And so now we're holding him on a pedestal because, you know, all this money has flowed in for him to promote cancer awareness. And I'm like, and so what that reminded me of is it's not about me putting anyone on a pedestal or thinking, you know, that people are where they are. It's like just, you know, I'm just got to do what I do and be sort of resilient to those people that I would have thought would have supported me for a post like that. And when the lack of support came out of it, just continue on my way, knowing that all I'm doing is being as authentic as I can possibly be in each moment and standing in my own truth.
Mm-hmm. That's what I always tell people. I tell people I'm not your guru, you are, and I'm not infallible. You know, I'm doing my own thing. And so if you follow me, you're lost because you have your own unique purpose for being here. So with that said, that's my disclaimer, you know, and so I'm just here to share something. And if it helps you, fine.
I like, we interviewed Jordan Maxwell recently and he said, you know, his thing is I'm not an expert on anything. That's kind of a nice disclaimer. We started the show with that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that takes the pressure off.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. The there's so many avenues we can go into. Now, you know, I've done some. We have some Rife technology here as well. Unfortunately, I haven't been using it, but I have been using the multiwave oscillator that we have. But we're in same thing. We're in transition right now on one of our machines is messed up. But one of my dreams is to have a healing center, and I have the ranch. I have a 70-acre ranch here in Trout Lake, Washington, and we do a lot of work with some super oxygenated water, which the oxygen is actually crystallized and suspended in a microhydrant, a German biophysicists created. It's amazing what it does for the body. But that's just one modality. He has a magnetic light table. And he has all these other things. But we'd love to incorporate as different modalities as we can and just build a kind of a Patch Adams hospital scene here with all the things that actually work. And I know the county was just going to love me for going through that program because they're already trying to shut me down for just letting people come out here and hang out and meditate and watch UFOs. But that's always been one of my dreams.
I love that. We just opened our holistic healing practice here. It's called Healthy Family Now. Mm-hmm. And I've been sort of just a traveling practitioner. And so, you know, I would go do an appointment somewhere and it'd take me 30, 40 minutes to set up, do an hour appointment, it'd take me 20 minutes to tear down. And now it's so nice to be able to walk into my office and have all the modalities right there, really literally within reach of my client being on the table. I have everything right there. And it's like, okay, this is the way it's supposed to be. And yeah. So I love that. I love that. I'd love to get up and see what you've got going on. I've met so many people that have been up there, James, and uh-huh. have amazing experiences and everything.
Yeah, we work a lot with frequency. We work, we connect into some of the highest frequencies and do a lot of transpersonal release sessions where we clear out, you know, the trauma, you know, that even past life trauma, birth trauma, and any old wounds and traumas from past experiences, and actually hook people up, you know, with the higher dimensional beings and their own higher consciousness, you might say. And, you know, we've watched some just total spontaneous healings in doing that, you know, some amazing things. But I know there's so many people that, you know, some people respond immediately and they'll have a spontaneous healing, where other people will need something a little more material or a little physical, you know, to be a part of their process. And I would really love to cover every level, you know, of that process.
Yeah, I get so excited, and particularly right now with how the energies are more open than ever before. 3 years ago, I worked with the first person I ever worked with that had uterine fibroids, and she had five of them, one the size of her fist, so tumors in the uterus. And we took eight sessions. She had surgery planned. We took eight sessions, and at the end of the eighth session, she canceled her surgery. That was 3 years ago, and no issues at all, where obviously you couldn't get away from having issues with that many tumors and that size.
Oh, yeah.
The last person I worked with uterine fibroids, it was one appointment for 3 hours, and that was the end of it, and she canceled surgery. And I'm just like, okay, that's and it has not just the energies of what's happening, you know, for the entire collective and the planet, but also people's belief systems.
Yeah. Well, you know, you probably just killed one of those doctor's Mercedes payments or his boat payment, so... you know, it's like, and sometimes I think that's a determining factor in a lot of these surgeries is, you know, I've got a new beach house I'm looking at, or I've got some new toys I want or whatever. And it's sad when money is the determining factor behind, you know, procedure.
Yeah, it becomes an interesting thing. I went to a chiropractor recently because I got a Groupon deal, $29 for a chiropractic adjustment and assessment and our massage.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I went and I said, you know, I'm really just here. I'm not going to be a chiropractic client of yours. I'm just here really for the massage, and I think it's great you guys are offering this. And I went through the whole process, and at the end, they presented me an $8,400 program for the next year, coming in twice a week. And I was like, you guys are something else.
Wow.
You know, I was blown away. But I guess there's a lot of that going on out there. I'm much more interested in someone coming in for a 3 hour appointment, learning that they can, that they are actually have all that it takes to fine tune, correct, turn the tide on whatever's going on for them. And send them on their way and possibly never see them again. You know, that whole thing, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach him to fish, you feed him for a lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we do. I really don't like repeat performances at all. And when people leave here, we give them the tools to do everything themselves. And if somebody has help, you know, we'll help them out again. But I always say, ask them right off, well, have you used the tools we've given you? And they just kind of go, well, you know, no. And I just said, well, I'm not here to create a dependency. You know, it's this is all about self-empowerment. So start using the tools and get back to me, you know, and then we'll help them out if they still can't get through it.
That makes all the sense in the world, and really this is the time for it. You know, like you said, you're not a guru, and that's exactly it. You know, of that guru being G-U-R-U, it's like, okay, yeah. You know, it's like of all times in the entire history of humanity, this is time to own who you really are, you know, at the end of this cycle.
Yeah, we are definitely moving into this unity consciousness field, you know, the mind's talked about, and it is definitely a time of accountability and taking responsibility for our creations, you know, and ending this ongoing savior, victim, persecutor triangle we're on, you know, this wheel, you know, it just gets us back on the wheel. No matter what position we take, we're back on the wheel. And it's tricky to get off that wheel, you know, and not get caught up in picking up somebody else's issues. But I don't know if you've noticed this, but it does seem like with these energies coming in right now, they seem to be, they're non-judging energies. They just amplify everything. And so whatever's left over, whatever we haven't dealt with or resolved or whatever, it's just being amplified. And it seems like in this amplification process that people are gathering together. You know, it's interesting to fight their own beast. And, you know, I've seen a lot of victims all jumping together and attacking somebody, not even knowing, not even looking into if there's any fact or foundation to what, you know, is being said or anything. They just like pick up the sword and go after people, never with a huge emotional charge, not even realizing that this has nothing to do with them and other than their own unhealed issues. I don't know if you're noticing a lot of that lately.
I mean, the things I'm noticing lately have my head spinning, and it's fascinating to watch right now and to see what's up. I'm not so much experiencing quite what you said. I mean, I've got more what's coming my way are I kind of set myself up with Source and said, listen, I don't have all the time in the world. I've got, you know, family and Laura and this and that. The time that I have, I really ask that the people that find me are the ones that are so dedicated and committed that they're ready to clear their core issue or issues. Mm-hmm. And that they just, that they're ready. They're sick and tired of what life is without clearing it, and they're ready to move forward in that. And so that's a lot of what's been coming my way, and it's really beautiful to, as you know, to work with individuals that are really, really ready and really, really dedicated. I get the same thing as you mentioned before, where it's like, okay, here's the whole protocol. And then a month later, they come back and they say, well, I'm not better. And I'm like, well, tell me about your protocol and tell me how you're doing it. Well, I'm not really. And it's like, well, you know, I mean, okay, then we don't have much to talk about. You know, it's like you've got to do the work. There is no quick fix that I'm aware of anymore. Uh-huh. People got to be willing. I don't know if there ever was a quick fix, but people have got to be willing to do the inner work, to go inside, to go to the places that they have created all the distractions in their life not to go to. Those distractions aren't going to work anymore, and it's going to become painful. I love what you were saying about you know, the mirror and what's being reflected back to us and what's being amplified. It's like, you know, what's happening for each of us right now is we're being faced with the reflection of the true reflection of who we are and the energies we're holding. And there should be a little sticker on that mirror that says, issues may appear larger.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, I think that's a good bumper sticker out there. You know, I have to make one. Getting back to some of these cures. I know that Otto Warburg, and I think in 1927 or something like that, gave us a cure for cancer, where all he did was is increase the pH and the blood oxygen, and cancer being anaerobic just backs right out of the system. And so we've had the cure for cancer for God knows how long, and Rife technology and things like that. And, you know, I always see these things, you know, run for the cure. It's like run from the cure, you know, and I talked to a guy that had, he's high up in the American Cancer Society. And I said, you know, I know some physicists and some other people that have a cure for cancer. And he just screamed at me, there is no cure. And I said, well, would you be interested in looking at the data? Are you really here to help people and really end cancer? And he just yelled back at me, there is no cure, you know. And I said, well, are you not even interested in looking at it? And he says, no.
Well, he doesn't want to be out of a job, James.
Yeah, yeah.
You're threatening his livelihood.
Exactly. And I just said, so this is all about the money and not about the cure. And boy, he got pissed. He got really angry at me. You know, and he was dressed really well, you know, and I'm sure he was pulling down a pretty fat salary, you know, doing what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the you know, we're just faced with a system that's on a foundation that's not based on the true nature of our realities. That system will crumble under the weight of itself in one way or another. And, you know, we just, you and I and Laura and all the others of us out there just need to continue to hold the line and be authentic and just do what we do. And that whole divine perfection of the moment is present all the time in my world.
Yeah, I always tell people, you know, rather than fall for the guy in the suit, you know, and the tie, why don't you go find the guy with the leather G-string out in the field, out in the jungle, you know. But and that's kind of an extreme, but it kind of helps people think about, well, wait a second, you know, these guys out in the jungle have been curing these things for years with plant medicine, you know. Let's look at the track record of most medicine, you know, standard medicine, and see if it compares.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all, I mean, it's changing. It's shifting one person at a time, like this grandmother of 10 grandchildren that I spoke to, who said, you know, just everything has changed for her in the last year as she has learned more of what's really going on.
Yeah.
And so it's people are just, you know, they're ready, and it's taking, you know, the catalysts of us sharing information and talking and doing the energy work and sharing the stories, the success, mm-hmm. and everything that that are helping turn the tide.
I agree. I think you know, there's several things going on. One is, and I've been involved in this quite a bit, is the system is trying to figure out a way you can work outside of the system and create a legal framework that'll keep you keep you from, you know, the whatever the feds or whatever coming down on you or the health department or whoever they send, you know, to shut down your program when you start healing a lot of people. And I've been working a lot of that, you know, a lot with that and in the sovereign movement and getting clear title and things like that, and, you know, taking ownership of your land and your own personal sovereignty. It seems like when that finally gets into place and, you know, and we find out ways to protect people, like all of these new healing modalities, these fuelless energy devices and earth-friendly energy devices, all these things are just going to come flooding out on the market. They're already happening now, but there needs to be some kind of a protection, you know, for the people that are out there on the front lines, you might say.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that one of the things that's happening, James, is, like you say, things are happening so quickly, they're not going to be able to take all of us now.
Yeah.
So there is that aspect, and you you said a bit before about supporting each other and coming together.
Mm-hmm.
To facilitate all this, and that's really the case. I mean, we're all in this together, and it does take you know, the spirit of collaboration and mutual support and everything else, because there's you know, still all sorts of energies not wanting us to move all this forward, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that here on a county level where I've just seen extreme bias. And it's just unbelievable the depths that they have gone through to do everything they can to shut this place down. It's if you talk to anybody, any sane person about it, they just shake their head and they go, what? None of this makes any sense at all. But, you know, unfortunately, it's like we're a threat, I guess. You know, I guess everybody resists change and the unknown more than anything else. And even when you invite them to say, hey, come and experience what we're doing here, look at all the benefits, you know, you can see that there's no threat whatsoever. They still will not take that step because they don't want to, you know, change their consciousness or their program or their lifestyle or their job depends on maintaining a threat, you know, even be it fictitious or not.
Right. And I mean, and that's the thing is that people really aren't, I mean, we run into it all the time, the people that just aren't ready to wake up. They're too much in fear of themselves and who they are and what they'll find or they, you know, people's been stuffing their emotions and everything for so long that they've been desensitized, I guess, or something, you know, but at that same point, you know, enough of those contact points and those impressions, I guess, from all of us, you know, you never know when it's just going to be that thing that where someone goes, oh, wait a sec, aha,
yeah.
You have that moment.
Exactly, that critical, what do they call it, critical mass or that tipping point,
yeah.
You know, that hits. That's what I see happening. It's like these, I call them the powers that were, they've run out of time and they can't maintain their kingdoms, even their own physical bodies, because they're no longer frequency specific to where the earth is evolving to. And so a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it's going to happen no matter what, because universal forces and cosmic forces coming in are going to push it right over the edge. But I don't know, part of me wants to give it a little shove myself, you know.
Works.
Yeah. It's, you know, like, whoops, nobody's looking. You know, just push it over the edge a little bit just for the higher good. But I really feel confident, though, with the new energies coming in, the higher consciousness, the veils coming down, these old tyranny programs and the competition and the greed and the separation games are going to be coming to a close real quickly.
Right, right. I think we're all ready for it. It's interesting. People say to me, well, what do you think is going to happen on the 21st? And, you know, it's like I feel that everything's been shifting so much for us.
Mm-hmm.
I heard an interview with someone the other day that said if our human selves now could stand in front of our human counterparts from 150 years ago, they wouldn't even be able to see us.
Uh-huh.
And because of how light we've become. And it reminded me of the boiling frog syndrome.
Yes.
If you drop a frog into boiling water, it'll jump right out. But mm-hmm. if you put a frog into room temperature water and then turn up the heat to boiling, it'll stay in there and it'll die. And that's not what it's just the part about not realizing what's happening. And so, you know, when people say, well, you know, kind of expecting this big thing to happen, I'm like, you know, it's been happening all along with us. It's just we're not always so connected to be able to tell that it's been happening. And I explained the boiling frog syndrome.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's been a long process. It does seem like my feeling is that this process has been going on for a long time. But 2012, you know, the 21st is there is an alignment with galactic plane and a few other things going on, and the ending of a cycle. And how that comes to pass, I don't know. There's times I see what's on the books, and the books are changing constantly. And I always tell people, like, well, here's the areas we need to work on. You know, these things are still on the books. But if enough of you get together and start meditating and set your intention for something else to happen, you can totally rewrite the books or change that. So it's kind of a catch 22. Are you enforcing it by letting people know what is on the books if they don't get busy, or are you really part of the healing process by informing people, look, this is what's on the books, and you better get busy.
Right. So tell me, James, the December 21st is right around the corner. Where are you going to be, and what are you expecting?
Well, you know, I'm going to be up here, basically, and I haven't scheduled anything for that time period from the 19th to the 23rd. And I'm going to just be doing some, as some others too are going to be doing, some real focus work here, using the energies of the vortex here to kind of transmute as much as this is possible and align with the new energy, raising my own frequencies. And that's my focus. That's what I'm going to be doing. I do see an increase in, earthquake and volcanic activity. The storms are becoming more severe. I think a lot of that is manipulation as well by other forces. And that's probably going to continue until these guys figure it out what they do to anyone, they do to themselves. They haven't figured out the unified field or universal law yet. You know, they're still running around like monkeys competing and hoarding. But I think it's, you know, only thing I can say for sure, it's going to be really interesting, you know, what happens. And I think, as I said, we can change it, you know, but I think if we had a mass infusion of integrity, like some people call them the white hats within the system, and they start shutting down some of these other programs going on. And if we had a mass infusion of integrity, even in the political field or whatever, and some people just stood up and said it like it is, you know, like some of the politicians are doing, they're just calling it out. And then there's a lot of people in the alternative movements that are, you know, taking a stand now. And that's what I think. If we all rise to the occasion and buck up and, you know, live with impeccable integrity, you know, do the best we can, I think we'll go through this fine. But I think there's probably going to be as many realities unfolding as there are people, because everybody's creating their own reality, and they're going to be where they need to be for the lessons they need for their own evolutionary process.
Yeah, I love that. I really love that. We had been invited to all sorts of events to speak and this and that, and Laura and I just decided staying right here in our home, our sacred space with the kids and other family members, and just holding our energy that way. And I'm thrilled with that decision.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I just said, you know, I'm just not into. This is a real kind of a holy time, you might say, for me. You know, and I think if everybody treated it that way, and you know, spent that time really going within and cleaning up their own closet and consciousness and sending out, you know, good vibes, good juju, that, you know, we can turn a lot of these things around.
Yeah, I love that.
But I mean, that's my focus. And I think too is that it's, I think we're going to see a tremendous explosion of alternative healing modalities and fearless energy, everything. And I know from inside information that I can't even talk about is that a lot of these contracts are already written and signed to bring in these new technologies. So, I can't go into that, but I know that these technologies exist. They're about ready to be deployed on many levels, and it's just a matter of when, you know, they open these gates. And I think if enough people put pressure on them, they're going to have to open the gates, because, you know, all these people work for us. We just have to remember that.
Right. I love it.
Yeah. But you've started your own. What's the best way people can, before we end the hour here, we still have a little time left, but what's the best way that people can get in contact with you and find out more about the work that you're doing?
The website, drdream.com, drdream.com. is a good sort of hub for everything I'm doing. From there, it's connected to the Tour of Love, which is our ongoing traveling and events that we do, and then also healthyfamilynow.com, which is for the holistic healing practice.
Mm-hmm. Great. And yeah, I might be contacting you because I've got a few few things I wouldn't mind getting a hold of. But yeah, where I've been using some of the other technologies, and I think that's the only reason I'm here right now is because of focusing on the higher consciousness and energy and protection and my own healing process. And you know, I always tell people I'm not a sacred cow. I mean, I'm getting hit like everybody else and having to overcome all kinds of things. And it's just important to let people know they're not alone, you know, in this process that we're all undergoing it. Some are taking on a little more than others, but it's a process. And if we all unite together and focus on the greater good, I'm sure we can get through this.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's, I've always said, it's not up to me. You know, I get that I'm here to experience myself as the creator self, but there's mm-hmm. 7 million other people with me here. It's not about me having to do anything alone. We are all in this together, at least a percentage of that 7 million. Mm-hmm. Well, really, we all are in this together. And it's just, I'm here for the ride.
Yeah.
And I got the full ticket.
Yeah, I want to. I always tell people you bought the e-ticket, and gods don't do boring things, you know. So that's why you're here. But the going into the frequency side of things, I know you were doing a lot of work with measuring the frequencies of different emotions, attitudes, emotions, even food, things of that nature. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that.
Well, there's some fascinating research out there. David Hawkins, a really amazing book. He's written many amazing books, but the one I want to refer to is called Power Versus Force.
Yes.
And he establishes a map of human consciousness that calibrates from 0 to 1,000, with enlightenment being in the range of 700 to 1,000, and with the shifting from force and power happening over 200. And so he did, thousands and thousands of tests. It's all been documented. And so it's fascinating research to look at. And the numbers are just the numbers, but they give you an idea of how things work. The latest numbers that we've been able to find are that 78% of the collective of humanity is at the 200 calibration or lower. Now, this starts to create on the surface some concerns, because that's the lower frequencies. And then we look at that and we say, oh my God, this could be, you know, really devastating to have 78% of the population to be holding a frequency, you know, that low, or just still, if we put it into other words, you know, kind of being in their comfortable slumber and not mm-hmm. in the true nature of their reality. And so what offsets this, and thank goodness, and gives us, you know, all the hope and everything, is that as the numbers go up in Hawkins' map of consciousness calibration, it's all changes exponentially. And so I'm just scrambling here as I'm talking to get you the exact numbers on this. But I believe that it was one person calibrated at 600. On the files opening, here it is. Let me. Mm-hmm. I really just want to get the exact figure here. So one person calibrating at 600 counterbalances the negativity of 10 million people below 200. Uh-huh. And so us that are continuing our inner journey and our process clearing out and you know, really moving into the highest energetics, what I call reaching for the highest vibration, mm-hmm. we keep doing that and got to keep doing it no matter what the other 78% of the population is doing, because that 22% that's over 200, that's going to, like we said before, create the critical mass or tip the scale. And that becomes really encouraging for us. Now, other kinds of statistics about this that I think are fascinating is that the second great barrier level is 500, which is love. And not in the context of a way of being in the world, or in the context of a way of being in the world, not an emotionality. And what's fascinating about this is that some of the greatest intellectual geniuses of humanity, Einstein, Freud, Newton, Aristotle, all calibrated around 499. They couldn't make the jump of just one point into the 500s because it denotes a shift from linear and provable domain, like classic physics and Newtonian physics, to nonlinear, formless, and the spiritual realm. And so, you know, Einstein couldn't go there. It wasn't possible. And so, you know, it just helps us kind of get an idea of how the energies work, and it gives us some, I mean, not just faith in how the process is and that it's never as dire as it seems, but, you know, how to be addressing our experience and moving in that direction and opening up as high on that calibration consciousness map as we can.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting that, you know, by their own science, that there's over 11 dimensions out there. And I guess 99% of the world is non-physical. It's not even measurable to them. But they want to stick to the 1% provable. And it's not real unless they can stick it in the test tube or measure it or whatever. But as science evolves and they get more sensitive instruments and things like that, then they start realizing that they can validate, you know, a lot of these things. One, we had a technology here, I think called PIP technology, when we were doing one of our counseling sessions, and you could actually see the energy change in the room and this like golden vortex of energy come in green and actually come down on the people, and everybody pixelates out and becomes like white. You know, it's like, it's amazing. And the guy was shocked when he saw the process and he looked at the film, you know, through his technology. But I know technology now is starting to catch up and prove what a lot of the sages and mystics and masters have been talking about for thousands of years.
And this is something that's really turned me on. I mean, in my own life, I'm 48 years old, and in my life, I shied away from the science. I've always emotionally... My foundation was my emotions and my connection to heart. Mm-hmm. And I didn't put anything into the science. And I just shared from my emotional body. And then it was probably 6 years ago or something, I started noticing coming my way that the science was backing up what I've always felt. Mm-hmm. And I had that experience before. And so now, I mean, you watched what I did at the Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails presentation, and that was the first one where I came out with like a scientific sort of research presentation, and people have been absolutely blown away by it. And I realized that, you know, all along, you know, for the last 10 years that I've been doing this, the people that have really attached themselves to what I'm saying are the ones that are also emotionally based. Mm-hmm. And now I've got it set up that I'm still giving those people what they need, how they think and how their minds work and everything. Uh-huh. And I'm able to then back up the science for the people that would never pay attention to what I was saying from my emotional body. But now, you know, from the mental perspective and everything else, it's like, oh, wow, yeah, that makes sense. And so I'm attracting a whole new base of people that are interested in what I have to say. And that's that whole thing of technology supporting, you know, what we've all been doing for so long.
Yeah, there's an old saying that technology is a failure of one's own spiritual advancement. You know, so a lot of things that they're learning to do with technology, we at one time we could actually do them with just the mind and intent.
That's exactly it. I had this conversation earlier this week that you know, look at the internet. It's just simply showing us what will be available for it and how we're all connected without any electronics or anything else. And it's like, I'm embracing those times, you know, and I look at all this and I'm like, yeah, this is it. We are all connected. I mean, we've done experiences where we focused our energy in group experiences on people thousands of miles away, and they feel it, of course, you know. So it's all available now.
Hey, well, throw me in your group next time because I could use a little boost here.
Come up there. Yeah. I want to bring Laura and the kids up there and really experience all that you've got going. I'm serious. I love that you asked me to do this interview today. I am seriously fascinated with everything you've been doing up there, and so this is the entree. I mean, no hollow suggestions here. I would really like us to come up there and see what you've got going and talk about collaboration.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I most people on the show that I get are people that I'm already connected to and aligned with and want to collaborate with on future projects. And I'm sure that's probably where this will be going, and introduce you to some of the scientists that we're working with here. You know, we have the technologies, and a lot of the technologies that you're using as well would be a great complement. You know, it's just a matter of getting the infrastructure there. A lot of it's there too. It just has to be put together. But right. That's always been my dream, you know, to get a place, you know, that takes care of things, body, mind, and spirit, and create a template, you know, on how we can live a very spiritual life, you know, but still keep our feet on the ground and work in harmony with nature and each other, and not get out of balance like so many of us have.
Right. That's exactly it.
But yeah, we're having crazy things. We're having masters appear here and actually filming them. We're getting photographs of, like, Mary's appeared here, Kuan Yin, some other masters have appeared here, Babaji, and we've actually gotten photographs taken by monks that were here. Their minds are blown, and they grabbed their cameras. And I think because of their frequency, their own frequency, they got the footage, they got the photographs. I think a regular person might have missed it or wouldn't be aware of where to shoot, you know, and what's going on.
Right. Wow, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's on the, if you go to eseti.org, you can see a lot of it, but the site's kind of under repair right now. We're doing some major work on it, so some of the links aren't working, but the photographs are up if you want to check them out.
I absolutely will.
And what's weird is they look, we put them right next to the old paintings of them, and they look almost identical. You go, wow, this is really trippy. and when you put them up, the photographs, when you look at them, they, especially Mary's photograph, it like it moves with you and it starts phasing in and out when you're staring at it, and people have all kinds of bizarre things happen when they interact with it.
I mean, this is the time right now, you know, just the, you know, what wouldn't have been available for people to really believe. Now, you know, all left and right, I'm learning things that, you know, 5-10 years ago would have been, you know, so outside of my ability to comprehend.
Yeah.
It's almost like, oh yeah, of course that happens.
Yeah, we have, it's really funny here. People go, oh, you're, you know, with the UFO stuff, they go, well, that has nothing to do with spirituality, or that's all nonsense, or that's not scientific or whatever. And I said, well, I have triple PhD Boeing engineers and Lockheed engineers that have been here, Air Force base commanders, you know, pilots, people from air traffic controllers will all disagree with you that this is real. They had their own experience here. They filmed it themselves. I don't know what else you can do. We told them exactly when and where the ships would appear, and they did. And major TV shows have actually got that all documented on film. So, you know, and then you look at the ancient history and you go, it's all over in the old Vedic scriptures about the Vyamanas and the different types. And some are light ships, some are pure energy ships, you know, some are physical. So it's a part of our ancient history. I always wonder why, you know, people automatically try to discount these things. But I think anything's possible, and the universe is only as big as the mind that can perceive it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I love that.
Well, we're at the end of the hour now, so if you want to give one closing statement and also give how people can contact you again, would be great.
Absolutely. I can be reached at drdream.com. My phone number is there, my email address, my cell phone number is there if anyone wants to reach out. I am really here to assist all those people that find their way to me. And so whatever I can do, I'm fully aware of the why of my existence. And I'm here to assist this process for all of us. So really appreciate being on your show, James, and having this conversation with you. And I look forward to getting out there and seeing you in person.
Great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. Well, anyway, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and I'm sure we'll be in touch in the very near future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Greetings. This is James Gillen. I'm your host. We've got another great show. We've got Tom Lesher. And Tom blends his rich intuitive insights with 30 years of astrological background to make each reading a life-changing event for his clients. His approach to healing spirit, mind, and body throughout emotional release and Kundalini yoga utilizes astrology as a healing art. In addition to personal readings, he brings astrology to everyone through his international lectures, experiential workshops, writing, and teachings. He's the author of The Pele Report, a weekly astrological YouTube forecast, and numerous magazine and online articles. He's using yoga, meditation, and nature for self-renewal and natural law as his guide. His work brings balance, love, and joy to others and the planet. And today we're going to talk about 2012 into 2013, and we're also going to talk about a lot of other events coming up. And I've watched Tom's Pele Report several times, and it's just spot on, and I've always been a fan of his work. So without any further ado, I want to bring Tom on the show. Tom, are you with us?
I am sure with you there, James.
Great. Great to have you on the show.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I saw your report, your Pele report on the 2012 and 13. And, you know, I was trying to explain to people, you know, that there are some major influences coming in. And, you know, it's time to clean out our closets, you know, and get our frequencies up as fast, as high as possible to get through this shift. But, I mean, you have a very unique way of bringing that forward, and I just love some of the things you're saying. So I'd love for you to give us some reflection on that, is what are we going through now, and what might we be looking at in the future?
Sure thing. Yeah, I it just kind of came to me, it's karma clearing time.
Yeah. Seems like trachma clearing time for some people.
Yeah. I mean, basically what we're doing is we're closing up a 26,000-year cycle. We're closing up, you know, other cycles are also coming to a close. The Pluto cycle, 250 years. And if we look at lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes that we've had here on this planet during this time period, we've created a lot, we've done a lot, we've experienced a lot, and we felt a lot. And as we close these cycles, it's, you know, everything that has not been dealt with, everything that has been pushed under the carpet, everything that has been ignored or denied, it has to come up to the surface. It's a closing, it's a releasing, it's a letting go and preparing. You know, it's like I use the analogy of you got to erase the chalkboard.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is a time of erasing all of our old equations, our old belief systems, our old approaches, our old relationships, you know, erasing a lot of this stuff to keep, you know, to be ready to step into an entirely new realm and a new dimension of experience, a new self-understanding, a new understanding of how we are all connected to the El Mundi, you know, the objective reality. So it's a real time of, and this is the, you know, it's hooking up. our personal subjective reality to a greater reality. And the greater reality is just, it's going to become, how can I say it? You know, it's like the non-subjective, the objective reality is becoming more intense. It's becoming more noticeable. It's becoming more, something to deal with. I don't exactly know how to put that so that people understand it, you know.
Well, it does seem like anytime you add energy, you know, like, you know, we have these bioelectric fields around our body, and we're holding consciousness in our fields. And, you know, they've actually measured consciousness, you know, that, you know, the fear and the guilt and the shame and all that stuff has a frequency to it. And the higher frequency energies are the love and the joy and the bliss. And so if there is going to be an addition of consciousness and energy coming in, which is very well documented, it just makes common sense that people are going to have to deal with their lower vibrational stuff as it comes up to the surface. You know, they're going to have to either find new and imaginative ways of releasing this or some will try to act it out, but it's not going to go anywhere. It's that upward spiral energy, so they can't keep acting it out. It's just not in alignment with universal law.
Yeah. I the picture that comes to me is the merry-go-round that is just starting to go faster and faster and faster and faster.
Yeah.
And it's throwing off, you know, anything that can't be, that can't hang in there at a higher vibration, a higher frequency, a faster spin, you know, just gets thrown out there. It's not fun. It's not easy. A lot of people are going through so much of dealing with these heavier base emotions, you know, basic physical needs, emotional needs, sexual needs. You know, so much is, you know, really just, you know, getting brought up, stirred up. It's like the pot is getting stirred now for so many people because, you know, we're preparing to be existing in another, you know, in another way.
Yeah. I was watching several different viewpoints on this, and some people say we're moving into another dimension. Some people say we're moving into another timeline. I've heard like 10 different analogies, or more than that actually, about where we're going. I'm curious about your take on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so my whole thing is that this whole 26,000 year cycle has so much to do with the balancing of the masculine and the feminine, the yin and the yang, the spirit and matter, however you want to look at these polarities. I see that when we come into these 26,000 year cycles, which if you break it into four is 6,500 years, and we've had 6,500 years of patriarchy, and before that it was 6,500 years of the matriarchy.
Yeah.
And we can just see that these 6,500 year quarter segments of that 26,000 has to do with the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine. So the way that I'm seeing so much of what people are dealing with now is this balancing of relationships, this balancing of their own masculine and feminine nature in their astrology chart. It's Venus and Mars. And if I want to define it more clearly, it's the inner and the outer. The masculine radiates outward. The whole patriarchy, the whole, you know, Adam and Eve, the whole masculine is to control the outside world and figure and calculate and set goals and name all the animals and trees and just master this third dimensional reality on planet Earth here. And the feminine is the dark, it's the inner, it's the receptive, it's the consciousness. And so there, you know, what we're seeing is there's a rise in the feminine. And so much of what's coming for me is that the way that I see it is this is a very internal. It's a shift in consciousness. And this shift in consciousness is not going to necessarily be so externally visible. People are going through tremendous internal changes, and I think that it also is going to affect a smaller percentage of the population of people who are inwardly preparing, who are inwardly ready, who are inwardly desiring this shift in consciousness, and that it's going to, in some ways, separate humanity. It's going to, in some ways, bring in a wave of vibrational, you know, light forces that certain people jump on the boat. You know, certain, it's like there's a wagon train coming through town. And if you are ready and willing and wanting, you can absorb this light energy. You can raise and shift your consciousness to where you personally, individually, and with those you love, whatever, you know, are moving into a new experience of reality, of yourselves, of your creative potential, of your ability to love and have compassion and understanding for the rest of the planet. But it's going to also open up definite psychic centers and certain capacities of a vision and feeling that have, it's like new doors of perception are opening. But I really don't see it necessarily occurring for everyone. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that is what's, because so many people are just not focused on it, they're not attuned to it, they're not, you know, in this certain evolutionary stage.
Yeah, it seems the chosen ones are those who choose, and there's a lot of people out there that are just choosing to remain asleep. But I think they're going to have some experiences. I don't think you can avoid this just because of the magnitude of the alignments coming up and the energies. But, you know, I always tell people, I think, you know, they go, what's going to happen in 2012? And I think there's going to be as many realities unfolding as there are people, and it's all going to be unfolding according to their choice and their consciousness. And it's just going to be different for everyone. But there will be collective experiences because certain areas will go through different changes just due to their harmonics or the energies in those areas. So it's you can't really, you know, give a giant blanket thing for everybody and say this is what's going to happen, because it's really going to be different for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the one thing we all share in common is Gaia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are on all the same planet, and I think that, you know, she has her own evolutionary path. And, you know, I mean, we're, you know, the human beings on this planet are actually, you know, a part of, you know, her evolution, which is part of the solar system, which is part of, I mean, it goes out in, you know, circles and circles and circles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, like we say, that, you know, the photon belt, you know, that we're entering and we're getting, you know, there's huge waves of light emanating from the galactic center, you know, coming towards our planet as we speak today. It's, you know, these things are approaching rapidly. And I'm with you, you know, James. It's like you can't have, you know, so much energy and so much impact coming from, you know, what I like to call it life.
Mm-hmm.
But you can call it God, you can call it the central intelligence, you know, you can call it whatever you want, you know, center of the universe, look at it, you know, through physics or astrology or religion or whatever. But, you know, the idea that we're living a macrocosm in a greater macrocosm, you can't have huge shifts and changes occurring in the macrocosm, you know, with these waves of light and energy, and they call it love or whatever you want, but, you know, it's coming towards us in a physical way, towards this planet, and I think that, you know, that this planet is going to respond. It's going to react. We've got, you know, certain energy systems, volcanoes. We've got, you know, ways of, you know, the planet dealing with energy, releasing energy, kind of breathing. And I can certainly feel that there are going to be some shifts, you know, not only in the spiritual, mental, emotional, but also on the physical plane.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, to me, the science behind it, we're just, you know, getting hit with incredible solar flares, you know, and coronal mass ejections and other influences coming in. It used to be like 50 hits a day, and now it's up to 500 gamma ray bursts and cosmic energies and things of that nature. And, you know, the Earth is absorbing all that. It's going in through the poles and absorbing it, and she's kind of expanding, overheating a little bit, and that's going to definitely, that energy has to be released somehow, and I don't see any way around it, you know, other than having a lot more earthquake and volcanic activity and severe storms and things of that nature until we pass through this shift.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I'm also looking at, I try to keep it, you know, for the people I work with as personal as possible. And of course, when you've got these solar flares, you've got the changes in the magnetic field. And, you know, our heart is a magnetic field. And you can't be affecting the large magnetic field of the planet without it affecting the heart chakra of each and every person. And this is a time when people are feeling intense heart conditions, heart pangs, feelings, depression, going from the bottom of the spectrum to the top, from states of ecstasy and bliss. You know, it's like everybody's going bipolar on us. You know, it's like, wow, I've never felt this intensely high. And then, you know, 2 days later, oh, I've never felt this intensely low. It's like our magnetic fields, our hearts are getting like jerked around now. They're getting ripped open. You know, it's like people have wanted to open their hearts for so long. They didn't know that it involved, you know, breaking and ripping.
Yeah. I know the Tibetans have a thing they talk about, and it's called a soul merge, where you're on this wave, and waves have ups and downs, and as you get closer to finding balance and merging with your soul, you do have these bouts of ecstasy, and then bouts, and as that high energy comes in, it brings up all the other stuff, and you drop down into the process mode, you know, where you have to deal with all the things that don't resonate with that high. And they said it's a series. The wave is just really high, really low, and then finally it kind of levels out, and you're back into balance again.
Exactly. So it's like you get opened up to a new potential, a new possibility, and this is what's occurring. All the new energy, the solar flares, the light, the love, it's opening, and our eyes are opening up to a, like, you know, new, you know, in the spectrum of color, you know, maybe we're going to be able to see, you know, more colors, you know, but as we open up to that, of course, it throws the mirror on everything that's stopping us, chaining us, weighting us, holding us down, holding us back from, you know, really existing on this next higher level and stage. And so I believe, you know, it is so much stuff is coming up for people, and the danger, you know, and my advice is don't make it real. This stuff is like coming up, and it's garbage day. It's time to take this stuff, look at it, see it, and put it in the past, put it behind you. But the tendency can be to, oh my God, I have to deal with this. I have to process this. I have to work through this. I have to think about this. And you know, that's where you go down the wormhole.
Yeah.
That's where it's like, oh boy, it's the ego latches onto it. It gets caught in that reality. Mm-hmm. And so it's really necessary through, I don't know. I mean, I just did a bunch of ayahuasca down there in Brazil, and I've been doing a lot of these meditations, sound meditations. I do the Kundalini yoga, but I really do think that, you know, you got to have these practices now where you go out of your mind. Mm-hmm. You stop thinking so much, and you still that ego, you know, the mind's driven by the ego. It lives in the world of polarity. It's going to judge things as good, bad, right, wrong, positive, negative. And I think we're moving towards, you know, this unified field theory, or, you know, we're moving towards the third pole, where it's not either or, it's both and more.
Yeah.
And it's going outside, it's going into the intuition or the right brain, or, you know, how a crown chakra, however you want to look at it. It's, you know, that everything below the sixth chakra is polarity. You know, you got two eyes, two nostrils, two limbs, you know. Mm-hmm. But you get into the third eye and the crown, and you get into this, you know, single, you know, singularity consciousness. And that's, I think, where we're headed. And it's just, it's excruciating for, you know,
getting
for
there.
So many people because of the old paradigm of the way that we do relationships, the way we deal with our bodies, our sexuality, our, you know, our just physical existence here is really got a lot of old stuff around it.
Yeah. It seems like, you know, there's been, you know, on a base level, there's been a monumental effort to keep us locked into the first three chakras, you know, and a lot of people call them survival, sex, and power. And you know, with all these changes and, you know, the manufactured lack, the fear mode, you know, all these things going on, you know, all the polarities and that are coming through your TVs and even in your food, everything. There just seems to be a monumental effort to keep this down, you know, even going into the chemtrails, basically, to block out the sunlight and the consciousness and energy and light that's coming in. And, you know, I'm wondering, I was just thinking about that, how a long time ago I made a choice, like 25 years ago, I made a choice. I'm going to live really close to the land, try to live in harmony with each other and nature and live a very spiritual life. And that's the choice I made. And I built a template of that, you know, here at the ranch. But you know, along with help with others too, I want to admit, you know, I want to bring them in. But the bottom line is that I wonder where people have gone through so many years of this programming and the other things they've been dealing with. It just seems like we're going to have to go through a major cleanup, body, mind, and spirit, just so we can adjust to these new energies.
Well, I have to, you know, that just. So it's like, get me going. It's, you know, it's nature. It's natural. I've been out in Hawaii, Big Island, and, you know, on the beaches by the waterfalls, and just down in Brazil, out in the middle of nowhere at Alto Paraiso. But I give a lot of my workshops in cities, and so I've been flying all over the place, and I go from city to city to city, and it's just, it drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, it's very, very important. I feel like it's almost darn near impossible to really experience fully this transition, this phase of evolution of human consciousness to its fullest potential living in a city.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been telling people for so long, and they always want to argue with me, you know, and they're living in New York or wherever, and they go, I love New York. And yeah. I go, well, where do you live? And they tell me, you know, they live in this huge building, apartment building. And I said, well, can you imagine all the electronic interference going on there, all the cell phones, you know, the 110 and 220 energies, and then the psychic turbulence going on because you're all sardined into one spot. You're getting all the thoughts and consciousness from your neighbors and you know, and feeling their dramas and everything else. I said, how can you be open to anything in that reality? And if you are sensitive, you're just going to be smacked all over the place. And the only thing I can say is that some people have just gotten used to it. They've either walled off or they're just used to being just buffeted all over the place and being in reactionary mind, not even knowing a lot of the things they're feeling have nothing to do with them.
Yeah. But that's the problem, is they're walled off. I mean, this stuff is the perception of this energy is so unconscious and so subtle, and so you have to drop all of your walls. You have to become totally thin-skinned. You have to open up, be vulnerable, be completely relaxed, to really tap into the amazing flow of energy that's coming. And you just simply can't be that vulnerable. You can't be that open in the city, because you will be overwhelmed with the stimulation, and it will just overtake you. It's like you can't feel safe enough, nurtured enough, held enough to let down all of your boundaries in order to really suck up the cosmic energy when you've got, you know, all this electromagnetic interference and psychic interference. And, you know, it takes me like 3 days, you know, to decompress. You know, when I'm in a city for a week or something, I'm just like, you know, I gotta go lay on the beach. I gotta go lay in the jungle or the forest or the mountaintop or something for like 3 days to get, you know, to like cleanse out. And it's like you don't really notice it. It sneaks up on you until you start feeling heavy. You start feeling down, you start feeling all of this weird energy, and it's like, it's not until you get away from it that you realize it's not your own.
Oh yeah, definitely. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I've been trying to explain that to some folks, and they just don't get it, and they keep saying, what's wrong with you? You know, why don't you go deal with these negative energies that are coming at you? Why don't you go into the dragon's belly and confront this? And why don't you? And I go, because it throws you off so bad when you go into that heavy, dense, controlling, manipulating energy and deal with it. It's like an energetic battle, and every time you do, you come back all depleted and things like that. Like, we've had to deal with these court cases where we have the county here would love to shut us down. They're doing all they can to shut us down. And I've had to go through 9 court appearances, in dealing with this energy and go right into the belly of the beast, you know, with this stuff. And it finally got dismissed, but now after it got dismissed, they're bringing it up again, which is they can't stand, you know, anything, anybody standing up for themselves or anything aligned with higher consciousness energy or anything outside their box. They just can't stand it, and so they're going to do all they can to suppress it or squash it. But I don't even feel threatened by it, you know, even though they're trying to start it up again. I'm just saying, yeah, whatever, you know. So
yeah, that's why I went out to Hawaii. It was to just get away from America as much as I possibly could. But
yeah. Well, there's a huge movement in Hawaii that's coming forward. I've been getting a lot of emails on it where they're demanding their sovereignty back and they want their island back. And you know, I really support those movements, you know, with the indigenous people. But that's going to get really interesting with they're actually creating their own you know, licenses and I guess license plates and yeah. citizenship and breaking away from, you know, that controlling, dominated paradigm. And they're even telling the military they want them out. They want them to clean up the messes they've been making.
Yeah, that would be beautiful. We'll see yeah. what happens. I mean, it's but you know, then in traveling around to other places and other countries, there's some things that I like about America that it's nice to get back. Also, so I don't want to get on a beat up America binge or anything.
No, it has its qualities. It's happening here too in America, because there's a massive movement. I'm seeing it on the internet where, you know, people are saying we want our republic back. You know, we want to get back to sovereignty. We want common law. We want to get rid of this corporation that's been enslaving us for God knows for how long, and get back to where everyone is a king or queen in their own land, and you know, get back our basic God-given rights. So it seems like there's just a huge movement globally right now to get back to universal law and yes. Get back to the higher consciousness and energy and service oriented, you know, way of life.
Well, and that's exactly what the astrology of 1221 is about here. If we look at the yod, the finger of God, you know, that's going on with Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto, Saturn in Scorpio, Pluto in Capricorn, and Jupiter Lilith down there in Gemini, it makes this funnel that kind of is like a slingshot with the Jupiter Lilith in Gemini pulling on the two stems of Capricorn and Scorpio, Saturn and Pluto, and being drawn back, and on 1221, it's going to be let go. And that slingshot, of course, shoots to from 8 degrees of Gemini, shoots right up through 8 degrees of Sagittarius, being right the midpoint between 8 degrees Saturn in Scorpio and 8 degrees Pluto in Capricorn, shoots this arrow, yeah, the slingshot, the stone, right through Sagittarius, which is natural law. And it is. It's nature. It's natural law. It's the vision quest. It's truth. It's the search for the Holy Grail, the Ark of the Covenant. This is what Sagittarius is all about. You know, Jupiter and Sagittarius is this archetype of seeking for and expanding our consciousness to include greater and greater truths, greater and greater laws, greater and greater understanding. And it's just this opening up that is very, very powerful, that is going to be, you know, I mean, it's signified as happening, you know, at this very time. And that has actually already begun. That's the thing, is I don't see this 1221 as being a particularly, like, the gun's going to go off and the race is going to start. You know, this is not the Olympics.
Yeah.
Now, this yod has been going on for a little while with Lilith and Jupiter and Saturn and Pluto, particularly with the eclipses in November, the middle of November, November 28th. You know, this yod was exact with using other planets as Mercury and the Sun were passing through there. Venus is actually on December 23rd, exactly at that 8-degree point of Sagittarius. On the 21st, it's actually at 6 degrees 37 minutes, which is not that far away. But it's interesting to me, there's actually a crop circle, you know, that had everything on December 23rd. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at least like a 3-day window here. You know, I know there's a lot of meditations and people really focusing on 1221. It is the solstice when, you know, the sun is at zero Capricorn. But I see it as, you know, a window of time. And that window of time is, you can use 1221, 1223 as a pivotal you know, like a fulcrum point, but it's been building, particularly since mid-November, even early November. It's going to continue on through January, you know, and then I think that it's still, you know, we're just like I say at the beginning, the Hopis call it the fifth world. We're just kind of entering this fifth world. It's going to be going on for years and years to come. So I think that people that have been focused on this 1221 as being like the end of the world or something, are going to be severely disappointed when they wake up the next day.
Yeah. I mean, I can't max out all my credit cards up to December 21st and take out some massive loans and buy all the toys and everything and just have it all erased.
I know, man. I know a lot of people that have just been, you know, and I myself, I got to say, I got caught up for quite some time just, you know, waiting for, you know, the outside world to change.
Yeah.
And it's really only been recently that it's been like, oh my God, you know what? This is me changing. It's not so much the outside world. I have to change myself. And if we look at the astrology of it, then this is the movement from Scorpio into Sagittarius. And, you know, Scorpio is ruled by Pluto, and it's the eighth house, the house of death. And Pluto is like Shiva, Kali, Durga. It is the force, the evolutionary force that destroys, that takes away, that removes anything in the way of the evolutionary process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Saturn is in Scorpio from October till October of 2014, December of 2014. It's really going on for a couple of years here. This Saturn moving through Scorpio, and it is a time of this death is the death of the, how do I put it, you know, it's like the personal self that began in Leo. Mm-hmm. Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio is this fire, earth, air, water. It's these three signs that have to do with the personal self. Aries through Cancer is the instinctive self. Leo through Scorpio is the personal self. And Sagittarius through Pisces is the transpersonal, universal, cosmic self. And what I'm seeing here then is now that this is a time, this is a transitionary phase between us really seeing ourselves, viewing ourselves, experiencing ourselves as separate egos, as individual, personal, you know, I'm in this for me. You know, it's been the me generation, the Pepsi generation, the baby boomers in America, you know, that,
yeah,
you know, have really, they were born with Pluto and Leo, you know, you know, went through the 40s and the 50s there. But, you know, and now we're like, it's like as a race, we are maturing. And I believe it's our opportunity now to see ourselves from a objective, from a non-personal. So in a way, it's this death or releasing of I, me, my. I need to receive. I'll give, but I need to receive. And there's, you know, and I'll pay the cost, but I want the reward. And there's all of this egoic, personal energy. I don't want to call it energy, but consciousness that is about, I need to get it back. It's living in polarity.
Yeah.
And as we move into Sagittarius, as we move in out of this personal reality into experiencing ourselves as spiritual cosmic beings, what I see is the potential is this opening of the heart to unconditional giving, unconditional loving, unconditional opening and experiencing that, you know, I may give it here, it may come back there. I may, it's not, It's not as linear. It's not as logical. That life is operating along some very, very particular, you know, and very intelligently formed laws that are just now going to be opening up to us. They're going to be getting exposed to us, and they're going to kind of blow our minds in terms of, you know, of what's possible and what we are each capable of. And we no longer really need to worry so much and live in fear so much of lack, of inability to survive, of fear of rejection, because we're going to be experiencing ourselves as universal spiritual beings that are supported, nurtured, held, maybe not by one person, maybe not by one family, maybe not by one source of income, but like all different, it's the matrix or the tapestry of life. We're going to be able to feel and touch and sense a greater support system as we move into an experience of ourselves as non-separate beings.
Mm-hmm. Well, that totally aligns with, you know, the ninth wave and unity consciousness and the consciousness behind these energies that are coming in. And it just seems the days of separation and greed and war and againstness, all these things are just no longer supported, you know, in the new grid or the new energies coming in. So they are going to implode, you know, and pretty much fall by the wayside.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the extraterrestrials just, you know, they sit up there in their ships and they just kind of chuckle and go, you know, those human beings, you know, are just so amazingly blind to the unity of all life.
and
so much living, you know, in the illusion of separation that they just have to chuckle about it because it's hard for them to imagine.
Oh yeah, I have a joke here, and most people don't get it, you know. And I said, you want to hear a really funny joke the extraterrestrials say? And they go, yeah, what is it? And I said, did you hear about the human that thought he was separate from omnipresence?
Yeah,
and they look at me and they just go, well, what's so funny about that, you know? And I go, never mind. You know, it's just...
Yeah, exactly, James. I mean, that's what it is. We're just all down here, like, in the dark, you know, like thumping around with our eyes closed, bumping into each other, you know? And it's just like, this is a great, you know, this is a great opening, and it's a great opportunity to just experience. And, of course... Like I say, I think it's going to take, you know, a few lifetimes or numbers of generations or hundreds of years, you know, however you want to measure it. But, you know, integrating this non-personal consciousness with, you know, it's like a wedding, you know, it's a marriage of the non-personal spirit with the separate physical form. And, of course, this is Sagittarius, half man, half horse. You know, it is the consciousness that is symbolized by the man connected with the animal, you know, which is the horse. And, you know, kind of integrating this consciousness into our physical bodies, our sexual nature, our intimate relationships. This is the kind of the battleground now where, you know, people are just really going through the ringer, the relationship arena is the highest intensity right now, Saturn in Scorpio, which is orgasm, sex, merging, union. It's basically connecting with forces outside of ourselves that we can't control, which is also banks,
yeah,
you know, and nature, you know, and Saturn is giving us obstacles. Saturn is the planet of, you know, maturity, and maturity is gained, you know, through objectively you know, forming our character through, you know, it just has so much to do with integrity and living in our truth and standing firm and strong, becoming an elder in the face of huge, you know, on a personal level, it's just, you know, your life mate, your lover or whatever, but it's also bosses, employers, banks, governments, all authority. Saturn is authority. And we're dealing, you know, we're going to be bumping up against, you know, external authority that wants to direct, control, limit, you know, challenge us as individuals, you know, just like you were saying with the court system and everything, you know, with your ranch trying to cut you down and everything, you know, it's just like there is going to be the necessary experience of the breakaway from a collapsing or being shamed or judged. And it's like we have to come into an unconditional self-love first before we can experience this collective social love outside of ourselves. And that, I believe, involves, I don't want to say rebellion, you know, and revolution, because that doesn't have to, I mean, sometimes, I mean, you know, that reinforces polarity, consciousness, you know. But it is just it's not necessarily rejecting or blaming or fighting so much as standing so firmly and strongly in your truth that you are unshakable, unmovable, undominatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not a matter of going to war. It's more a matter of standing your ground and just saying, you know, enough's enough, and really educating yourself as to, you know, universal law and what is appropriate. And I'm seeing a whole shift right now coming in where they are shifting, you know, back into universal law, common law, and a great unraveling of this program of external authority, you know, enforcing the rules of the elite, you might say. That seems to be toppling, you know, as we speak. And I've been watching a lot of inner workings that people aren't seeing, because you're not going to hear about this in mainstream news. But, I mean, these powers that were, I want to call them, don't have a leg to stand on as far as what they've done and how they're operating. It's unjust. It's totally out of alignment with universal law. It's out of alignment with the Republic. And it's going to get real interesting when when that slingshot lets go. Let's see what happens to that program.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I almost, you know, if it's anything that I see, it's like these waves of light, this energy, this shift in consciousness, this evolutionary force, you know, these waves coming to the planet, you know, we talked about how, you know, if you're out in nature, they're more subtle, you know, and they're coming from the solar flares, and it's affecting the magnetic field, and it's all unseen, and it's all invisible. And it's happening, you know, at higher vibrational rates. And to me, that almost says, you know what, it's going to be more human consciousness that changes. And, of course, human consciousness, you know, is social and cultural order. Mm-hmm. It is governments. It is banking systems. It is economies. You know, I really see more man-made disasters than natural disasters happening.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, Mother Earth is fine, man.
Yeah, I think she would cruise through this whole thing very gracefully if they would just turn off the heart machines and get rid of the chemtrails and everything else. We'd probably have a nice, graceful transition. But, I mean, these guys want, I hate to go down that road, but it just seems like there is a group of elite people that want to go down into their holes and ride this through and come back up, and they want nobody left on the surface. That's what it's looking like.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to get their way, because the problem is that there is no hole. You know, in unity consciousness, there is no separation. There's nowhere to go to hide from this process, and there's nowhere to go to hide from their karma and the karmic backlash. So there's really nowhere to go other than to release the past and heal and start shifting your energies towards the awakening and healing process.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing. It's like the farther out of alignment that you go, you know, the more you get that slingshot effect, and you know, the more trauma you experience because you have resisted the natural evolutionary flow. You know, and if it's something that I would see happening, you know, it's just this whole Monsanto and this whole, you know, I think that Gaia, you know, can only take so much, will only take so much. I think she does, have a path and a course that is trying to be derailed.
Yeah.
You know, and manipulated, you know, by some folks like you're saying. And it's just, I personally, it's just like I get so pissed off and everything, and I get all in. I don't pay that much attention, I must say, to that, you know, to that energy. It's almost like I don't want to give it reality.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather focus on, you know, where I want things to go, where I want to create something new, more so than resist something that is, you know, already out there. And I think it is. It's like grassroots, as individual people come up, you know, and can take no more, or it comes into your personal life, like these guys coming to your personal ranch. Okay, that's like life is coming to you and asking you to stand up for something. Mm-hmm. And each one of us is having life come up to us and asking us to stand for this, you know, or that, or the other thing in a particular way. For some, it's in their love life. For some, it's in their business. For some, it's in their house or their real estate. It's each one of us has this, you know, personal destiny. You know, I mean, I see it every day with all these chart readings I do. You know, Saturn is passing through a particular house and sign of your natal chart. Mm-hmm. And that's where you need to be dealing with, you know, these external forces. And it's like Tynan Square, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like each, you know, one person stands up against the tanks, against the army. And you do it, you know, in your way, and I do it in my way. And as each person, you know, does it in their own way, it builds, you know, that change. Like the 100th monkey is all I'm hoping about, you know, the domino effect.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we were talking, I had Dr. Dream on, Mark Peebles. I don't know if you've heard a lot of his work, but he gave a wonderful explanation of frequency and consciousness and all that stuff. And so I asked him, I said, well, you know, I've been trying to walk this balance between, you know, we do need to acknowledge certain things are going on, but with loving detachment, but we can't stay ignorant of it. You know, we need to pay attention to it, be aware of it, but at the same time, not give it a lot of energy, not to fear it, not to hate it, not to, you know, attack it or anything else. But, you know, we were talking about that, you know, how do we find that balance between being in knowledge of these things and what's going on and actually adjusting for these things and not get caught up in all of these things. You know, it was kind of an interesting talk.
Right. Well, I mean, my feeling is that is another reason or, you know, way that it's like, what level do you want to function on? What level do you want to operate on? What frequency? You know, I mean, you can go out there and throw your physical body, you know, into demonstrations and, you know, and lose your voice, you know, shouting, on the street, waving signs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, or you can get on the internet and be doing your blog and, you know, resisting and spending mental energy. So I think that there's just many different levels to approach, reality, on or at or from. And my feeling is this, it is this movement, again, it's an opportunity to move from our personal subjective judgments. This is wrong, this is bad, this is that, this is the other thing, you know, and this is our Sagittarian belief systems. You know, it's just like, it's not so much about belief, it's not so much about judgment, but that we can move into this non-personal, non-subjective, non-judgmental place of love, of compassion, of unconditional, acceptance. And then you're coming at these realities, you're coming at these people, you're coming at would-be enemies, in a place and from a vibrational frequency of harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I mean, some people would argue that, you know, you're meditating on this or you're working on the astral plane or astral realm isn't doing shit, you know. You know, they say, you know, you've got to get out there and pound the pavement, okay? Mm-hmm. But I'm firmly in the camp that you can be working on subtle levels, in subtle ways, with subtle energy that is having unsubtle effects.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know? If you follow the vibrational continuum that, you know, everything begins in consciousness and goes to light and energy and then into mass, and that consciousness is cause, and this physical world is just the hard copy of consciousness or the effect, then it makes sense that it would be a lot more advantageous to work from the highest level, and because you'd affect the most people on the level of cause, you know, versus battling it down here on the level of effect.
Yeah. And I also feel like, you know what? It's when you get rid of it in yourself, you are also getting rid of it in the collective. It's like as each one of us gets over our anger, as each one of us gets over, you know, our fear, this is having an effect. So it's like, you know, everybody doing their personal work, you know, is having an effect on the collective consciousness. That's part of that whole unity, reality that we're going to be experiencing more and more.
Yeah, I agree. I've been really thinking about a lot of this stuff just on a base level. It's like all of our agencies, our governments and everything, you look at that, what they're really there. They were established to uphold, you know, individual human rights and, protect either people or the environment. I mean, that's basically what they were created for. But they've fallen so far, they've gone so far astray from their oaths and their missions and or their original mission statement or whatever, that they've actually gone to the opposite end of the spectrum and are really the problem versus the solution. And what I'm seeing right now on every level, that this is all coming up for us to look at, is that, you know, are we part of the solution? Are we focusing on the awakening and healing process? You know, or are we going to continue to be part of the problem? And I think even fighting these baser programs going on with anger and judgment and againstness is still pollution. You know, it's still giving them power, you know, and that we have to kind of try to find a different way of, you know, becoming the change ourselves that we want to see, like Gandhi said, or healing ourselves first and coming at it from a healed position versus a victim, you know, or any other energies that we're still carrying.
Yeah, I always revert to the I Ching. You know, the best way to fight evil is to make progress toward the good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just like if you are creating something, it's like move towards something, you know, towards a positive pole or towards, you know, I mean, create something new rather than like point fingers and blame and deal with what was and what is. It's like wake up and, you know, if you're having a problem with something, offer an alternative.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And inspire people to move in a direction that, you know, is that then it's like I think of the fuselage on the rocket. It's just going to fall away.
Yeah.
You know, the old crap just falls away when you come in with new solutions. It's not by fighting what's existing. It's by creating something that doesn't.
Yeah, if you don't give it any more power, it has to fall away. You know, we're coming up to the end of the hour, and I think on that note would be a good one to end on. Can you give, you know, your website and a way people can contact you if they want their own personal reading or to get, you know, your also your Paley report is awesome to keep, you know, give people that information so they can get in touch with that.
Yeah, great, man. I'm actually making an announcement on 12/21 of a new creative project that I have. It's a surprise. I'm going to be doing a little video invitation to people to join me in something, so it's pretty exciting. And it's going to be on my website, which is newparadigmastrology.com. NEWPARADIGM astrology. And then I'm on Facebook, New Paradigm Astrology on Facebook. And then I'm on YouTube, Tom Lesher, or I think you can just do a search for Paley Report. Paley, P-E-L-E, is the goddess of the volcano, you know, in Hawaii. And the Paley Report was birthed, you know, out of living there. So that's my contact info, James.
Great.
I want to thank you again for a fantastic conversation, bro.
Oh, you too. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and I'm sure we can do it again because you've got a lot more information to bring out.
Oh, gosh, yeah, man.
All right, well, take care. We've got to sign off here. This is James Gillen with As You Wish, signing off, and contact has begun. And check out those two awesome radio shows. Talk to you later.